Concerns about climate change were only heightened this week with a new report out. The UN asked 91 scientists from around the globe, called the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, to assess possible impacts from a warming planet. The team projects impacts to life and the world economy if countries fail to drive down CO2 emissions.
Environmental reporter Susan Benz covered the story earlier this week for WUWM News. She spoke about the report with Wisconsin natives Tia Nelson and Melissa Scanlon. Scanlon is a professor of law at Vermont Law School and calls the report a critical call to action that requires broad individual and political buy-in.
I think there's a lot of noise out there, so it's hard to reach people. And I also think that there's been a lot of distraction with people who deny climate change exists. Hopefully, people will see through that and understand that climate change is real. We're already experiencing increased problems with intensity of storms, droughts, water scarcity in some regions, too much water in others. And that's with 1 degree Celsius warming. So what this report is saying, we will see even greater problems the longer we wait to tackle the warming trends that we're seeing. We need to move our fossil fuel-based economy to one that's based on renewables. And these are human choices. It is possible to do this. As I mentioned to you earlier, the Iron Age didn't end because we ran out of iron. We made choices to reorder our economic systems and to innovate. And we're at that point, and we need to do that. The Nobel Prizes that were given out are directly aligned with this because they were given out to William Nordhaus and Paul Romer, honored for their work showing climate modeling and growth modeling that is actually quite hopeful that we can make these changes, but we need to commit to doing it.
So, Melissa, when you say human choice, are you talking about what our carbon footprint is?
What I mean by human choice is everything from the individual level, choosing to use public transportation or walk or bike instead of driving your car, to the larger level of demanding and voting for politicians who are leaders on these issues and who will be leaders who protect our future, and for those who don't, to vote them out of office, and to support those who truly are leaders in this area, because the decisions we're making about our economic system are going to be taking away choices for future generations who will have much more limited options if we don't switch off of fossil fuels onto renewables.
When it talks about the reduction of burning coal for electricity, even if everyone were on the same page, it's a major shift. It would be a big goal to reach in a relatively short amount of time. You feel it's doable?
I have great faith in our abilities as humans to set goals and reach them. If we choose to move off of fossil fuels and we make that our goal, we will figure out a way to get there. We have the technology to do it. We just need the political commitment to do so.
Wisconsin native Melissa Scanlon is a professor of law at Vermont Law School and director of the New Economy Law Center. Susan also spoke with Tia Nelson, who echoes Melissa Scanlon's contention that immediate climate action is required.
Nelson is the daughter of Gaylord Nelson, who's credited as the father of Earth Day. She spent a lifetime immersed in environmental work and is currently managing director of climate at the Outrider Foundation based in Madison, Wisconsin. Nelson says our individual choices factor into solutions, including the food we purchase.
I, until very recently, didn't know, and I've spent years working on this issue, I, until very recently, didn't know just how significant a greenhouse gas emission source came from food waste. If food waste were a country, it would be the third largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the world after China and the United States. Americans throw away, the average family of four throws away $2,000 worth of food a year. There are simple steps that we can take in our daily life to reduce our role in food waste, and in doing so, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, ensure that food isn't being wasted, and which helps make it possible to provide food to those who need it. It's a pretty straightforward thing. Single-use plastic, significant source of greenhouse gas emissions, is the creation of plastics that are intended to only be used once. We can make a choice as we go about our day to avoid those purchases whenever possible. But ultimately, we need rational, sound public policy informed by sound science. We need to vote for politicians who are advancing a clean energy future for all Americans. This next election is a critical one in so many ways. There's been some recent analysis done, which honestly surprised the heck out of me. It turns out that people who consider themselves environmentalists are voting at a much lower percentage. So if 45% of eligible voters voted in the last midterm, it was barely 20% of eligible environmentalists voted. That really was quite a surprise to me. If people who think a clean environment, the right to drink clean water and breathe clean air and have a clean energy future, if those are issues you prioritize and you're not voting, you're not having an impact on the decision that our policymakers are making, whether it's at the state level or the national level. Participatory democracy is only as effective as those who participate in it. And I was really surprised. I don't know why the number is lower, but I know that we're not going to get where we need to go if we don't show up and vote.
So last Earth Day, Outrider, with whom you now work, launched its climate change initiative, a website. Do you feel that more people are beginning to understand the situation we face and that action is imperative?
I do. Outrider has been focused much of this year in the climate program on creating a series of climate solutions videos. These are social first short form videos that we're distributing on various digital channels that tell the story of climate solutions largely from the perspective of individual action. I mentioned to you earlier that if food waste were a country, it would be the third largest source of greenhouse gas emissions. That video has been viewed over 6 million times. And I've received emails from Costa Rica to Washington, D.C., to right here in Wisconsin, from individuals who have seen that video and wanted to know more. We'll be working with the climate communications experts at Yale to deploy a variety of strategies to disseminate and amplify these messages of climate solutions. But ultimately, we have to do more than that, and we have to create the political will to put in place the clean energy policies that are going to help us avoid these projections that the report has laid out for us in such stark terms.
How do we factor in the current policy, and seems to be an evolving policy, at the federal level when it comes to environmental protection?
Well, I think it goes back to something we were discussing earlier, namely that we elect members of Congress, members of the United States Senate, the governors of our state, to advance clean energy policies, and then hold, in the case of federal regulatory entities, hold those entities' feet to the fire to robustly implement those policies. You know, carbon pollution has, greenhouse gas emissions has been labeled in a much-watched Supreme Court case as a pollution under the Clean Air Act. EPA is required under the Clean Air Act to protect the citizens of this great country. We've got to put in place political leadership to pursue a clean energy future and have the federal government follow through and implement those policies. And that's going to require all of us to become more involved and engaged. Did I talk to you about Project Drawdown? If you want a little more hope and optimism and a little more climate solutions, just Google Project Drawdown.
Okay.
And a guy named Paul Hawkins, he paints a picture in which we rapidly begin reducing emissions, and then we get to net zero through implementing 100 climate solutions. If you look at the top 10, and you can Google top 10 project drawdown, and you'll get the top 10 solutions, a couple of them are going to surprise the heck out of you. Well, at least they surprise the heck out of me. And it includes educating girls in the handful of countries that are experiencing high population growth. It turns out getting a girl through eighth grade is the strongest predictor of how many children she has. And the number one solution is banning hydrofluorocarbons in air conditioners because it's a very potent greenhouse gas. There's a whole bunch in there on land use, changes in ag practices, protecting and restoring grasslands, wetlands, forests, improving timber management practices, all doable things that have a whole associated co-benefits for the environment, for human health, for the economy. And he put forward a scenario in which we stabilize, reduce, and then through the deployment of all of these practices, we're actually sucking carbon out of the atmosphere because we're improving how we produce food, we're reducing how much food we waste, we're improving the way we manage our lands, and that's sequestering carbon out of the atmosphere. Nobody's ever done a project like that before. It is a source of great inspiration to me. It sits here on my desk. I have ordered and given away so many copies of it. For every young person that comes in here and asks me, wants to talk to me, which happens fairly often, I give them the book. So for me, that's what gets me up in the morning, the chance to tell the story that we can solve this, we know what we need to do, and help people understand both the challenge and the opportunity.
Tia Nelson is Managing Director of Climate at the Madison-based Outrider Foundation. You can find a link to the IPCC report on the effects of climate change at WUWM.com.